Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
If there is, and they have to take a vow of not touching any electronic devices or using the internet on Good Friday, it could really throw a twist into this matchup.
All right, it's time for another bracket update here on Rockin' the Suburbs with three ace analysts today. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's introduce ourselves. I am Jim Lenahan.
Hi, I'm Patrick Foster.
All right, and I mentioned the three ace analysts. We have, of course, Jason Goble. Hello, Jason.
Hey, everybody.
All right, we have Mike Coley. Hello, Mike.
Hello, what's up?
And back with a command appearance, our analyst the last couple of years, Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to be here.
I'm glad we finally worked out the contract details. Now that we're just about done with this thing.
That's right. He was working for the exclusive rockinthesuburbs.com streaming service, so we had to get a deal done with them, even though we own it. We had to negotiate.
It's very complicated. Very complicated.
Yes.
Kind of tough to get the in-house talent, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, me, I just work on somebody will buy me a beer at Suburbs Fest, and frankly, I got nothing better to do any event. So there you go.
All right. Well, we're glad to have Bill. So let's move on here. So I mentioned we are almost to the finish here on 90s album madness. We just completed the Elite Eight round of voting, which means we have a Final Four. So today we're going to recap the Elite Eight. We will look ahead to the Final Four. And then after that, there will only be one more bracket episode. That will be after the champion is crowned. All right. So, all right, guys. So here's what we'll do. Let me just announce the various scores here from the Elite Eight round. In the sales quadrant, it was Nirvana Nevermind 118 over Pearl Jam 1084. In the critics quadrant, it was REM Automatic for the People 238 over Radiohead OK Computer 176. In the listener quadrant, it was, of course, They Might Be Giants Flood with, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, 553 votes this time over U2 Octoon Baby with 384. And then in the host quadrant, our favorite quadrant, but not necessarily the voters' favorite quadrant, it was Sugar Copper Blue 126 over Fugazi Repeater 65. So the winners again. Nevermind, Automatic for the People, Flood, and Copper Blue. So with that, I'm just going to open it up to the panel here. What do you make of all this? Does anything stand out to you? Any surprises, et cetera, et cetera? We start with Jason.
I guess, I'm a little surprised. 10 didn't even break 100. Which was a little surprising. I figured if you were going to have a fan base, look, with all due respect, at this point, there's the They Might Be Giants fan base and everybody else.
Yep.
But where I'm going with this is I kind of figured Pearl Jam would have the fan base that would bring better totals, but a little surprised by that. As to They Might Be Giants, apparently taunting them by picking U2 just made them madder. So at this point, maybe it's best I just keep quiet in terms of any further They Might Be Giant predictions.
All right. Mike, what do you think?
To echo Jason's sentiment, I was surprised that Pearl Jam didn't even break 100. I know Mr. Jacobson shared the poll in a Pearl Jam fan group when that was going on. I didn't check in on it after I saw that he posted in there, but Pearl Jam's got some very passionate fans. But I don't know, maybe it was the youth that considered Nirvana their classic rock champion that came out and actually voted. But yeah, it was that was a big surprise for me. They Might Be Giants didn't surprise me at all. I knew that their fan base was going to just roll out for this one. I did notice there was some other group that I follow on Facebook. They Might Be Giants is facing Bare Naked Ladies today in that bracket. I don't even know what the name of the group is, but They Might Be Giants is trouncing Bare Naked Ladies in that one too. So their fan base is just all over, because as we said, they probably invented the internet. So that's not a surprise at all.
Yeah.
And Copper Blue.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Copper Blue. I expected that. Repeater, I don't know if people consider Repeater their best album. But I was glad to see that they made it this far. And then the Automatic for the People was a surprise for me.
Yep. You know, all I can figure, maybe the Pearl Jam fan base is just too old to understand how to work all this technology and so on.
One thing I would say is that, in case anybody's wondering, the reason I haven't been doing these throughout the tournament is Jim had actually asked me at the beginning, but I said to him, look, I kind of lost track of popular music, or not even popular, just music in the 90s. I always thought it was because that's when my kids came along, but it dawned on me the other day. We lived in Williamsburg, Virginia from 94 to 99, and this was pre-internet, and there's not much in the way of college radio, at least there wasn't down there 30 years ago. And so I kind of didn't know any of these things. And what struck me when you went through the quarterfinals is that with the exception maybe of Octoon Baby and Flood, in each of the quarterfinals, the winner was the one that I was most familiar with, that most deeply was able to penetrate, that even I, not paying a whole lot of attention to music, still knew about. So,
and that's why I thought this would be a good time to bring you in, Bill. I figured once we get down to this group of albums, you probably have to know these, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so, and one thing I would say about Flood is, of all the artists, probably in this whole tournament, but certainly who remain, the only one that my children have ever listened to is They Might Be Giants. And I think that kind of shows that They Might Be Giants, it's not that everybody is a They Might Be Giants fans, but you can't characterize them. Everywhere you look, oh, that person might actually be a They Might Be Giants fan. You can kind of say, oh, this is a typical REM fan, or this is a typical Pearl Jam fan. But I don't think there is a typical They Might Be Giants fan. They're kind of like any individual person. There's a good chance that they're a They Might Be Giants fan.
They might be a They Might Be Giants fan.
Exactly.
That's a sentence.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. Patrick, what are your thoughts on the Elite Eight round?
Well, Jason and Mike, I was surprised about the total for Pearl Jam. I actually thought they were going to pull this off. I thought they might sneak by Nirvana because of the things we had discussed about that band and about their fan base. But they came, with kind of a disappointing performance. I really thought they were going to hit a little higher total than that. I mean, they hit 191 earlier in the tournament, but the support really kind of dropped off. And perhaps it was people going from Pearl Jam to Nirvana to make up that difference. Other than that, I was, U2 100 more votes than they got in the previous round still wasn't enough to even come close to They Might Be Giants. And I got to say, a little bit disappointed in OK Computer. I thought that was going to, maybe make a run for it. Although they did put in a strong total, that probably is their highest total of the tournament. So, but REM stepped it up as well. in the high profile match over there on that right side of the tournament. And it's, boy, it's looking awful tough for the teams, two albums left on the left side there, given the vote totals that are piling up. So maybe one of those situations where a semifinal becomes enormous. And I know we're going to talk about that. But yeah, as Mike said, kind of thought Repeater would be about where it was. I was a little disappointed it didn't make its normal 70, came a few votes short. But other than that, I kind of think we had kind of had it dialed in, and it's looking like a pretty tasty matchup for the final. Was there anything that struck you about these Elite Eight matches, Jim?
I think I waffled a bit on the Pearl Jam versus Nirvana and kind of both sides did pulled a Jason, as they say, but ultimately that was because I kind of thought Pearl Jam was going to win and I didn't want to commit to that. And I guess I was smart not committing to that because, that didn't happen and wasn't even really that close. I guess it was kind of close, but anyway, REM did not surprise me, although the vote total surprised me. Nothing surprised me anymore about They Might Be Giants Flood. I mean, I was the one who I was sort of surprised that the listeners even voted that album into the field. Not that I don't like it, but I just was kind of surprised that other people liked it that much to vote it in. So the fact that it even got in was a surprise to me. And then to just see it kind of, you know, trounce all the competition has been surprising, but again, nothing surprised me anymore. And then I'm just kind of happy for Sugar and Copper Blue getting in there with the others, so that's nice. All right, so let's look ahead to the final four, and you guys can tell me how you see this playing out as if there's much debate or doubt, but we'll still pretend. So on the left side of the bracket, we will have Nirvana, Nevermind, going up against Sugar, Copper Blue. And then on the right side, we will have REM, Automatic for the People, going up against They Might Be Giants Flood. And then, of course, the winners of those two matchups will face each other for the 90s album Crown. All right. Jason, we'll start with you again. How do you see the final four shaping up?
I mean, Nirvana's Nevermind is obviously, well, I would say is definitely the better known album. You know, I think that's a safe argument. Copper Blue, and I understand that, you know, it's not been like crazy totals, but, you know, I'll be honest. I have been consistently impressed that, like, they've gotten over 100 in each round. And I think overall, they ended up with a higher total than Nevermind had in the 10 matchup. Now, that one was probably potentially a tighter matchup, you know, meaning I think Nevermind was facing maybe a tougher album. No offense to Fugazi, but I think Copper Blue, I thought, got a little bit slightly higher than Nevermind, if I'm not mistaken. I guess where I'm going with this is, I'm going with Nevermind. I think people will look at this with the, you know, at one point we were talking about the faces of the 90s and with some of this stuff. And I think, you know, if you were doing like a 90s Mount Rushmore, Kurt Cobain would probably be one of the four faces. And that's why I think Nevermind wins. If Copper Blue ends up surprising, I I, you know, I won't be surprised. In fact, I think it would be fun, but I'm going to go with Nevermind at the end of the day.
Okay, but not Nevermind to win the whole thing.
No, just for that this would be the time where I say you listen to my picks and bet the opposite. But no, I would not go that crazy to tell you to bet the farm on Nevermind and potentially put a fifth mortgage on your house to realize that you're going to clean up at the end of the day.
Okay, so you have Nevermind over Copper Blue, and then you have Flood over Automatic for the People?
Well, look, I'll just say this, and I said this about U2, and to U2's credit, as you said, Patrick, they did end up getting, they did end up getting 364, which for most contests would have been enough. Automatic for the People, I'll throw in that category that I threw into about you too. And I think it's even more so for this, where this may be like one of the reasons I said what I said about you too and having a shot was I looked at the albums that They Might Be Giants faced beforehand. Tom Petty, I think that's who they wanted to beat in the first round. Classic rock album. So, you know, They Might Be Giants, definitely not in that wheelhouse. And then Sunvolt, Trace, again, an album definitely not in their wheelhouse. Violator, alternative, but a different type of alternative. So that's why I thought Flood would win that matchup. I thought U2, based on the popularity of it in the 90s and the popularity of the band, may have drawn some Flood voters out. REM's Automatic for the People, maybe that one, and sorry, Patrick's nipple, but that may be the one where ultimately, you know, people may say, all right, you know, and I saw a couple people kind of threw out the Sophie's Choice thing in the Flood Octung Baby vote. I think you could see more of that in Automatic for the People. That having been said, I have to go Flood. I mean 556 and counting, and I have a feeling if it becomes a battle of the fan bases, I took a quick look, and again, the voting ends at noon each day, but right now that Flood Octung Baby vote is up to 1,100 people voting, which means that people are still voting for Flood as we speak. I haven't picked up my phone since we've been on here, but my guess is 20 other people just voted for Flood in that contest. Yep. So I can't vote against Flood. And yeah, and I guess as to if we're picking, if you want me to pick champion now.
Yep, go ahead.
I'll be honest. I didn't see any chance of this being the victor when this whole thing started. But you know what? The Brooklyn Ambassadors of Love, I think, are going to be cutting down the nets on Monday.
All right. I should mention that the semifinal votes will be today at 1 o'clock and then tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and then the final will be starting Sunday at 1 o'clock. So there you go. So is that right? Yeah, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Okay. All right, Mike Coley, what is your prediction for the final four?
Yeah, well, so the cool matchup would be Copper Blue versus Automatic for the Nipple, just based on the fact that both albums have songs called Man on the Moon.
Ah.
But I'm not a fortune teller, so I'm going to have to go with Nevermind between Nevermind and Copper Blue, just on the base of popularity alone. Copper Blue's got a great cult fan base, but Nirvana has a bigger overall fan base. And so I think Nirvana's going to pull it out over Sugar to advance to the final. And as far as the Flood versus Automatic for the People album, we've already said it over and over again. The fan base has spoken, and Flood is going to pull this one out probably pretty handily. Because as Jason said, they're still voting. It must be the mail-in ballots that are coming in. You know, they were stamped before the postmark. The postmark.
Brave men and women serving overseas. Yes.
So Flood's going to pull it out, and they're going to face Nevermind, and Flood's probably going to destroy Nevermind as well.
All right, Bill, what do you think?
It's going to sound like an echo chamber in here, but yeah, I mean, I think Nevermind is going to take Copper Blue. Nevermind is absolutely iconic. I mean, the sound, the album cover. I know Nirvana didn't necessarily invent grunge, but they introduced grunge to everybody. You see an article about the 90s, it's probably going to have that album cover as one of the illustrations. Yeah, Nevermind is moving on. And Flood and Automatic for the People, you know, from eighth graders to every 80-year-olds, everybody loves Flood, and apparently everybody who loves Flood is voting. So they're going to take that one, and they're going to take it all on Monday.
All right. All right. And Patrick, do you differ at all on any of this?
No, I'm kind of in line with what everybody has been saying. Now, I will say there is one potential wrinkle here that could take place. This final, an extremely important final, just by the nature of our Christian calendar that we follow, is taking place on Easter weekend. So I don't know if there's a big crossover between They Might Be Giants and religion. Because if there is, and they have to take a vow of not touching any electronic devices or using the internet on Good Friday, it could really throw a twist into this matchup. The REM people we know probably are heathens, so we don't have to worry about them. But it's those They Might Be Giants people. We're just not sure what that could be. But certainly, as Bill was saying, I think, you know, Nirvana's Nevermind and Copper Blue are both excellent guitar records and certainly, you know, great, great 90s albums. To have either one of those represented in the final, I think, would be a good thing.
And I guess that leaves me to basically say the same thing as the four people who spoke before me. It's I just don't see it going any other way than Nevermind over Copper Blue, Flood over Automatic for the People, and then Flood over Nevermind. So
I just want to say to my friend, or I hope still a friend, Courtney Love. Courtney, look, it's not us. It's, yeah, there's, you know, you may want to start haunting those They Might Be Giant pages.
Yep, there you go.
By the way, Jason, now, those doll parts are on their way to your place.
Oh, good. Hey, me and Courtney will break bread on Monday after, you know, potentially. Look, I'll be happy to give it back to her if Nirvana ends up holding up the trophy. But if not, I'll tell her. Look, I deserve these, as unfortunately.
Now, if it was only as easy to predict the basketball winner if we could only feel as confident in that as we do in this, then we'd have something, because that one's wide open.
Boy, that's going to be tough, right? And in that one, kind of like this, you got the lopsided Final Four. You got two number ones in the semifinal, yep. Right? And then,
yes.
But on the other side, you've got UConn. I mean, man, that's
who knows?
That's going to be something. Okay, so I do encourage people to vote here in the Final Four. I mean, we made it this far. Don't stop now. You go to facebook.com/suburbspod, and I'm going to spring this surprise question on everybody, because I especially want to hear Bill's thoughts on this, but I want to get everybody's thoughts on this. Now that this thing is just about over, is there, and you've had a lot of time to think about 90s albums and music, is there an album you wish had been in this tournament? If you could have added... If we could go back in time and you could add one, Or maybe we, you know, maybe if we each pick, you know, there's like, there could have been a play-in or something. But anyway, what's the one 90s album that we missed? And I'll start and while you guys think of this. I would say that if I could put one more in here, it would probably be Afghan Whigs Gentlemen. That would be my pick.
Mm.
As this has gone on, I've thought more and more about why didn't I put the Afghan Whigs in here?
Excellent.
Yeah, and talk about, I mean, it's just an album that has just incredible feeling to it. And the songs, I mean, they have kind of that 90s sound, but there's, you know, there's like sort of soul and funk in it. And it's, I think, a really unique record. And I think the high point, to me, the high point of that band, although they've had some other really good albums too. But Gentlemen, that's the one I would put in. I think I know what Bill would say. But I want to kick this over to Bill. Bill, is there a 90s album that should have been in the field?
Yeah, well, do you think I'm going to say The Impossible Bird
I
by
do.
Nick Lowe?
Yes. Yes,
The Impossible Bird by Nick Lowe. you know, as much as a Nick Lowe fan as I am, he kind of got a little silly in the late 80s. And then when Impossible Bird came around, he had the, I don't know what, is like his voice changed. It got a little deeper and more resonant. And his songwriting was still as pointed and sarcastic, and yet from a more mature point of view. Now that I'm even older, now than he was when he wrote The Impossible Bird. It just, a lot of the songs of looking back on your life in a wistful way really resonate with me. So yeah, even if I was the only person who voted for it in the first round, I would have waved my magic wand and put The Impossible Bird in there.
Nice. That has The Beast in Me.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Tremendous song. Okay. Patrick, is there something, another album you wish had been in this tournament?
I think it would be interesting to have They Might Be Giants' John Henry in the field, because then they could duel to the death. No. I think what would have made this very, very interesting is if there was a Guided by Voices album in this field. And you could, Propeller is 92, and it's probably a little too raw. It's my favorite, but it's probably a little too raw for some people. But B-1000 came out a couple of years later, and that's really a sweet spot and a high point for them. So I think that would have made the tournament very interesting for sure.
If it had been... If there had been a matchup somewhere along the way that was they might be Giants versus Guided by Voices, the internet would just have exploded, right? It would just it would be the end of everything.
That's right. The world would, the data centers would be popping, yes, like firecrackers out there your way.
The data centers would just collapse in upon themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike Coley, what do you think? What did we miss here?
Over the last couple of weeks of this whole thing, I've come to regret not submitting certain albums for my submissions, albums that I go back to constantly. One of them is the hat I'm wearing right now, Tragically Hip's Fully Completely album. That was my introduction, my full introduction to the Tragically Hip, when my buddy told me about a song about the Maple Leafs and that he thought I would like that album. And damn, was he right. And I've become a lifelong Tragically Hip fan because of that album, and I've absorbed everything Tragically Hip over the years. So I probably should have included the Hip in my submissions, which I didn't. And keeping with the Canadian theme, Sloan's One Chord to Another. Sloan's just a perfect pop band, period. There's so many of their albums. They've been going at it for 30 years. But One Chord for Another was my intro to that band, and I got to see them perform that album live at Daryl's house, and I wish I had included that album. I know neither one of them would probably get very far in the tournament, but the CanCon was sorely missing in this tournament, and it's my fault because I'm representing CanCon here. I should be representing CanCon.
All right, good picks. All right, Jason, I'm going to predict. Before you answer, I'm going to predict your answer, okay?
Okay.
Ill Communication.
Well, I'll say that actually was on my list. And I think when we gathered together before we started this exercise, I told you I was a little surprised. But honestly, you know, when you asked us to pick 16 albums, there was a clear number one and for me, which I was a little surprised about, but it was the first one I came to. And I think from the first time I listened to it, it's an album I still go back to a lot. And where I'm going with this is, you know, Lilith Fair was, I guess, sort of a big thing in the 90s. We didn't really have any of the Lilith Fair artists. And to me, and I'll be honest, when I put it up there, I did not necessarily expect it to make it in. But I think Fumbling Towards Ecstasy by Sarah McLachlan.
Interesting.
That may be my favorite album of the 90s. Hmm. You know, I remember the first time hearing it and, you know, just being the opening track, I believe, is Possession, and just being like awed by that song, like somebody like kind of singing something that raw, but also that beautiful. And then, you know, when you dig deeper into it and, you know, you got the nice ballads, you got a great mix of music. You know, it 90s was sort of a weird time for me. I really didn't become a jam band guy until the end of the decade when I sort of gravitated towards Loving Fish. But and I kind of straddled a bunch of different fences, hard rock, regular, you know, grunge, regular rock, rap. But to me, I don't know. I always go back to Fumbling Towards Ecstasy.
All right. Late 90s, that's when the drugs kicked in.
Well, there you go.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I actually go to most Fish concerts sober. And I think I tell people that and they're like, okay, now I really don't get your obsession with Fish.
All right. That's interesting. Okay. Well, those are all, I think they've all those albums have done well in the album NIT. All right.
Yes.
Okay, let's get out of here, guys, and we will convene again when this whole thing wraps up, and we'll have a bracket wrap up episode that we'll post on Tuesday morning. All right, okay, get your bets in. All right, so again, final four albums are Nirvana, Nevermind, Sugar, Copper, Blue, REM, Automatic for the People, and They Might Be Giants, brand new album for 1990, Flood.
Flood.
And with that, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been, I'm pointing to everybody, so just it's a free-for-all. Who wants to go first here?
They Bill call Mulligan. Me Mike Coley.
Jason Goebel. And I waited until everybody spoke, so I'll consider that a pseudo-victory in terms of understanding the Q thing.
And?
Bill Mulligan.
There we go. All right.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you all later.
Martin Luther and the Game of Life. Andy Kaufman in the wrestling match. Yeah. Monopoly 21, checkers and chess. Yeah. Mr. Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Yeah. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. About this one, tell me, are you locked in the punch? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis too? Are we losing touch?
I do want to make one statement of clarification in my role as ombudsman. On the last episode, I did say that In Utero was Nirvana's second album. And I've been reminded four or five times that it actually is their third, not their second. So,
right.
I think I said something to the effect of, I wonder what Nirvana's third album would have sounded like.
Oh, I don't even remember that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, Stephen Routledge said, well, you can actually really know what their third album sounds like. You can listen to In Utero. I said, oh, I guess I can.